Hey there, Sports History fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
There's no better football history than early football history, and in this episode, we get our fill of it as we discuss the early football teams with events on July 12th, including the Spartans, Indians, Tigers, and Dodgers, as we also remember the day the Dutchman was signed and Heck Cowan was born, and it's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have a lot of positive history for you today because we have some franchise beginnings and establishments in the professional leagues, especially the NFL, that are just so interesting and just so outstanding that they need to be told. And we have a special edition because we had so much on one particular team that we decided to start our early pro football team series a little bit earlier than expected. So we're doing a special edition, bonus edition podcast and blog post on the Portsmouth Spartans. And I think you'll really enjoy that. We will mention a little bit about Portsmouth in our football history headlines in just a moment, but we wanted to make you aware of that bonus edition that you can enjoy today. Let's start off with our football history headlines. In July 12, 1930, the Brooklyn Dodgers franchise is established in the NFL when, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame website, Brooklyn businessman John Dwyer purchased the league's Dayton Triangles franchise and moved it to New York. As was common in early professional football, Dwyer rebranded the team using a popular team in the area's name so that fans may have some connection with the franchise and thus maybe attend the games. Dwyer chose the Dodgers name to connect allegiance with baseball's Dodgers fan base. The club was sold 3 years later to Chris Cagle and John Shipwreck Kelly, but after a single year of ownership by this tandem, the franchise was sold again to Dan Topping. Things really changed in 1940 when Ace Parker, the Duke All-American, was signed. An addition of Parker transformed the Dodgers from perennial losers into one of the league's better teams. That is until World War II sent many of the team's stars, including Ace, off to war and sent the team into the basement of the NFL standings once again. The 1944 team changed its nicknames to the Tigers, and 1 year later, Topping stunned the NFL when he announced he was joining the new All-American Football Conference. The NFL canceled his franchise and then merged the team with the struggling Boston Yanks. Parker, who had returned from the war and rejoined the Yanks in 45, followed Topping to the AAFC for one final season. He was one of the veteran leaders of this New York Yankees squad that won the AAFC's Eastern title. June 12, 1931, Cleveland Indians franchise forms after the Cleveland Tigers franchise changed their name and then subsequently folded after the 1921 season, per the ProFootballHOF.com website. According to the American Football Fandom site, this was the first of three different instances of an Indians pro football franchise in Cleveland. A second Indians NFL team arose in 1923. That team played as the Indians for the 1923 season before changing their name to the Cleveland Bulldogs in 1924. The third rendition of the Cleveland Indians came in 1931 when the league sponsored the club that only played games on the road. The NFL intended to locate this team permanently in Cleveland. However, when no suitable owner was found, the franchise folded after just one season as visiting gate revenues were not enough to support the squad. These three Cleveland teams are viewed as three totally different franchises by the NFL. July 12, 1930, Portsmouth Spartans Detroit Lions franchise forms, the Spartans were officially granted a franchise at this July 12, 1930 league meeting. The teams had its ups and downs in the brief span on the NFL circuit. Twice they were faced with controversy, preventing them from having a chance to claim the championship title of the league. We get into more of that in detail on our bonus edition that we told you about earlier on the Portsmouth Spartans. Make sure you check that out, pigskindispatch.com, early pro football teams section, or right on the front page if you're looking on near July 12th. On June 30th, 1934, the Portsmouth franchise was sold and moved to Detroit, where they have resided ever since as the Lions. July 12th, 1949, the LA Rams signed quarterback Norm Van Brocklin to a contract, and they already had a quarterback that was in the as a Pro Bowler, ended up being a Hall of Famer, and Bob Waterfield. Very interesting tandem, those two quarterbacks. The old saying where you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, it didn't come into play with the late 40s, early 50s LA Rams when they had Norm Van Brocklin and Bob Waterfield on their rosters. July 12, 1960, inventor D.H. Rayburn is awarded the football safety helmet with face guard, U.S. patent number 294-4263. Guy invented the face mask. Now, if you want to be able to read through some old articles through some newspapers, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from all the English-speaking countries around the world. I believe there's like 13 of them, and a couple of non-English-speaking newspapers as well. And you get news all the way back to 1798, and as early as yesterday, get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Once again, that address for your free 7 days, sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Sign up today. Now let's go to a Hall of Fame birthdays for this July 12th. 1863 is a year. Hobart, New York is the place. Hector William Heck Cohen is enshrined into the College Football Hall of Fame as possibly the earliest born member of any of the Football Hall of Fames with his birth in 1863. Think about it. He was born while the Civil War was still in the news. Heck was a captain of the Princeton squad in the late 1880s, and in 1889 was selected by Casper Whitney to the very first All-American team as a tackle, per the footballfoundation.org website. Yale star Pudge Heffelfinger claimed that Cohen was one of the strongest opponents he had ever played against. Heffelfinger was quoted as saying, "He had the strongest shoulders and arms I've ever been up against, and his stubby legs drove like pistons when he carried the ball. Hector could carry a couple of tacklers on his back, yet he was plenty fast in the open." Mr. Cohen went on to coach after graduation at North Carolina and Kansas and had the success in these duties as well. Eventually, Heck became a Presbyterian minister while in Missouri. July 12, 1878, Henrico County, Virginia. The guard from the University of Pennsylvania for the 1902 and 1905 seasons, Bob Torrey, was born. In his bio on the NFF's website, it's brought up that after the 1905 Penn versus Swarthmore game, President Teddy Roosevelt must have gasped at the photograph that was printed in the newspaper that day. The photo was that of a beat-up and battered face of Swarthmore guard Robert Tiny Maxwell. The president was incensed as football violence had gone far enough. Roosevelt threatened to ban the sport, and his ultimatum was answered by sweeping rule changes to the game. Maxwell's facial reconstruction was a result of play in an 11-4 Swarthmore loss to the powerful Penn Quakers. A game that the National Football Foundation states changed the course of football history. Robert Torrey, the Penn captain, was the center playing opposite of Maxwell that day. Although he did play a part in it, Torrey cannot be totally blamed for Maxwell's condition of his face, as it was no secret that Penn's strategy that day was to line double and triple team Maxwell as a key to the Quaker victory to finish the season unbeaten. The strategy worked, and Penn did claim an undefeated record in 1905, winning 12 as well as single tie in a 6-6 game with Lafayette. A year earlier, when the Quakers sported a 12-0-0 record, Swarthmore had been the only team to score against them. And for certain, the Penn teams in those early years of the 20th century were powerhouses in rough-and-tumble days of the gridiron play. Torrey was among the best of the nation's top linemen and won All-American honors following the 1905 season. The National Football Foundation selected Bill Torrey for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1971. In July 12, 1920, McKinney, Texas, Glenn Dobbs. He's a football player that was voted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1980 as a halfback out of the University of Tulsa. Dobbs' career with the Golden Hurricanes spanned from 1940 through the 1942 season, according to the National Football Foundation. And Glenn was a first-team All-American selection as a senior, as he led the nation with a 626 completion rate during that 1942 campaign. Opposing coach Jimmy Phelan called Dobbs football's first quarterback, able to pass, run, punt, and the ball and defend against the opposition. He went on to play professionally in the All-American Football Conference with the Brooklyn Dodgers football team, and he was the MVP of that league in 1946. An injury forced him to sit out the 1950 season, but he returned to the field in a league that was the predecessor of the CFL called the Western Improvisational Football Union, WIFU, before his full retirement from playing. Dobbs returned to Tulsa to become the university's head coach in the 1960s. July 12, 1939, Carrollton, Ohio. Bill Cooper is a College Football Hall of Fame member that played for Muskegon University in New Concord, Ohio from 1957 to 1960. Cooper was a hard-nosed, put-your-head-down-and-run-over type of runner. He, in fact, says his rushing style earned him the nickname of Cannonball Cooper. According to the National Football Foundation, as a junior, Cannonball rushed for 1,191 yards and 15 touchdowns. In his senior year, he rushed for 1,102 yards and 23 touchdowns on 158 carries. Cannonball finished his collegiate career with 3,651 yards, a 5.5 yards per carry average, and 364 points. The NFF says that Cooper was named to the first team All-American in 1960 and leading the Fighting Muskies to a 9-0 season. And the prize fullback played in his way into the NFL on the San Francisco 49ers squad. Now for more birthdays of professional players, go to profootballreference.com. That's where we get a lot of our stats out. And click on July 12th and you will see all the birthdays of pro football players that are on this July 12th. You'll get a great reference there on the profootballreference.com. Now, you can check out myself and about 20 other podcasters in a group that we like to call the Sports History Network. And we are really becoming the headquarters of sports yesteryear. That is the goal of the network there. And we take all these different individuals from different sports, different areas around the country, around the world even, and different sporting events, and combine them with some great guests and great topics of conversation, and you have the Sports History Network. Make sure you check it out, sportshistorynetwork.com. You can see our posts and our podcasts and our videos on YouTube videos at pigskindispatch.com. Make sure you email us with any questions, concerns, or if you want to get on our email list to get an email each and every morning before 7 a.m. to tell you what we have coming out new, including podcasts and blog posts and YouTube videos, go to pigskindispatch.com or pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Email us. We'll put you on that email list and you'll be there. You can also follow us on your favorite podcast provider, and they will tell you every time we release a podcast. And we thank you for joining us today. We couldn't do it without you, and we really appreciate it. We hope you learned something new about the game of American football's history. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.